Well, Hearts, this is Challenge, and I'm glad you've joined us today in this edition of Challenge. Today, I've entitled this message, Packaging the Benefits. Got it? Packaging the Benefits. In a few moments, we're going to start with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But before we get there, I want to call you to prayer. I don't know if you're sensing the times and the change in the times and the changing of the times we're in right now. We're in a window. We are in a window of change, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world. And so I just wonder if you might join with me in prayer, and let's go before the throne of God together in prayer, agreeing in prayer as to what we would like to see him do. Would you join with me? Heavenly Father, Father God, I come into your presence in the holy and precious name of Jesus, your Son, my Savior. And I come, Father God, as a believer priest, as one adopted into your family, as a child of the Most High God, as a soldier of the cross, as an ambassador for Christ. I come on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in this nation and the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. Father, sometimes we get focal vision and we get focused so much on one area of the nation or the world that we ignore what's going on in the other expressions in the world. So, Father, today I'm going to come before your throne. And I'm asking you, my Father, my God, to reveal the hidden works of darkness in high places. They're at work. Satan is always at work. He has been at work since he was cast out of heaven. He is seeking to bring about a one-world order. He is seeking to bring about a one-world order in which he could eventually gain control through an individual that we know as the Antichrist. So, Father, I'm asking you, as a act of your will, your sovereignty, I'm asking you to reveal the hidden works of darkness in high places, because there are hidden works of darkness in each and every high place in the nations of the world. Father, his desire has never changed. His desire has never changed. You're coming in human body, going to the cross, becoming sin, dying, being resurrected from the dead, proving by many infallible proofs that you were God in the flesh, resurrected from the dead, and then ascended back into the heavens, and you're coming again. But Father, from everything I can see in the scriptures, before you're coming again, there's a lot we must face. So I'm asking you, my Father, my God, to reveal the hidden works of darkness in high places in every nation in the world. Bring it to the light. But give your people ears to hear. Give your people eyes to see. Give your people hearts to understand the scriptures and what's really occurring in the nations of the world, even at this time. We understand the end goal. We understand the end time plan of the enemy. But, Father, give your people, I pray, sensitivity to these times so they can give themselves to intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God. And if you'll do this, Father, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You know, no matter what's coming down the pike, Christ is on his throne. Jesus is on his throne. And we have nothing to fear but fear itself. So we just come before the throne of God day by day, praise, prayer, seeking his leadership, his guidance, his will in not only the affairs of our life, our own life, but the affairs of the nation. Once again, let this mind being you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All the blessings and promises of God are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that the average child of God does not really truly understand the benefits and the blessings that are theirs as a child of God. There's a tremendous package of benefits that comes with being adopted into the family of God. When God, our Heavenly Father, has put together a wonderful, wonderful package of benefits for those of us born again. When one is born again, they are adopted into the family of God. Never lose sight of that. When you were born again, you were adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Papa, Father. You see, as one born again, as a child of God, you have direct access to the throne of God. Think about it. You have direct access to the throne of God at any hour of the day or night, at any time, in any season. You have direct access to the throne of God, to the creative power of this universe. You have direct access. As one born again, you are entitled to all the benefits and all the blessings of your Heavenly Father. Did you hear me? As one born again, you are, please understand this, you are entitled to each of the blessings, each of the benefits, all the promises of your Heavenly Father. And frankly, there are too numerous to elaborate. On a broadcast such as this, a time frame like this, they are too numerous to elaborate on, but they include so much. The promises and the blessings of God, for example, when you come to Christ, born again, you become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man, regardless of his race, regardless of his nationality, regardless of his status in life, regardless of where he works, where he lives, what he does. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, in other words, born again, in Christ he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. That's better understood as old things are in the process of passing away. It's called sanctification. It's called sanctification. As you become increasingly more of what you were when you were born again. You were not born in the natural, in the fullness of everything you were going to be. But all the potential was there. All the potential, all the capability was there. Just had to be developed, had to be believed, had to be received. You see, once you're born again, then begins the process. Notice I use the word process. Once you're born again, then begins the process of becoming Christ-like. And we call it the process of sanctification because that's what the Bible calls it. We can say anything about ourselves that the Word of God says about us, and the Word of God tells us that we are being sanctified. We're coming through the process of sanctification. We are sanctified, set apart for God, and we're coming through the process of sanctification. The process, what is this process all about? It is in the process of sanctification that we become increasingly, increasingly more Christ-like. All of our past sins are forgiven. When we came to Christ, receiving Christ as our Savior, confessing ourselves as sinners, our past sins are forgiven, and not only forgiven, but they are forgotten. Forgotten by God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. For those who come to Christ in simple, childlike faith, believing, receiving Him as Lord and Savior, He will remember no more those sins of the past. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's how they never come together. East from the west, they never come together. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Future sins, forgiven, as they're recognized and confessed. You see, that's the key to living a Spirit-filled life. Listen to me carefully. That, my friend, is the key to a Spirit-filled life. When you have sinned, grieve the Spirit of God, quench the Spirit of God, you know you've done that, right then, right there, confess it as sin, no matter what you're doing. Take the time for a moment to confess it as sin, because all of our sins are forgiven as they're recognized and confessed. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now understand this, for those of you who are involved in religious activity. This package of benefits that I'm talking about today can only be accessed by the children of God. And belonging to a religious organization does not make you a child of God, no. To become a child of God, you've got to be born again. That's what Jesus taught. He said that to a very, very religious man, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Being religious is not enough. Being involved in religious activity is not enough. Going to the temple, working in the temple, doing everything you're doing is not enough. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Understand this. Christ Jesus is the source of all the blessings of God. Nothing else. No one else. Now get that. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Jesus is the source of all the blessings of God. Nothing else. No one else is the source. Only Christ. Once again, being born again has a great package of benefits, and you must understand this. Now, we use different terms to express the same reality because we have different denominations, and different denominations have embraced different terminologies. But when you look at terms such as born again, what does it mean to be born again? Becoming a church member does not mean you've been born again. Being baptized does not mean that you've been born again. No. Born again is becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. To be born again means that you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, the Word of God says. Those born again have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. But you see, before we were born again, we were all inhabitants and citizens of the kingdom of darkness, over which Satan rules. Over which Satan rules. And those of us who have been born again have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. We have been delivered from the family of Satan, because before we became a child of God, we were a child of Satan. Doesn't matter who you are, preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, elder, bishop, priest, matters not. All of us were born in sin. We all came out of the womb with a sin nature. And we came out of the womb born into the kingdom of darkness. We were born as citizens of the kingdom of darkness. Now, once we came to Christ and were born again, we were delivered from the family of Satan. We were delivered as a recipient of salvation. And that word salvation is used 166 times in the scriptures. as a recipient of salvation. What does that mean, Bob? What do you mean when you say as a recipient of salvation? Well, we use another term called saved. I realize that's a term that some people don't like to use because it's very, they think it's old, it's kind of old school, but it's truth. Salvation, saved, means the same thing. Saved from what? And saved to what? Saved from what? Saved from the family of Satan. Once you were born again, you were adopted into the family of God. Once you were saved from the family of Satan, you were saved from the kingdom of darkness. You see, until you were born again, you were a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. But when you came to Christ and you were born again, you were saved from the family of Satan. You were taken out of the family of Satan. You were placed into the family of God. And not only, you were saved from an eternity in hell. Because those who die without Christ, when I say without Christ, what do I mean? Without being born again. Without being born again. Those who go out into eternity without having been born again, spend an eternity separated from God in a place never designed for mankind, but a place called hell. Once we're born again, we're saved from an eternity in hell, and we're spared an eternity in hell, and we're separated. You see, those in hell have been separated from God forever. Once you're in hell, you're separated from God. There's no second chance. Okay, we're saved from that. We know we were saved from the family of Satan. We were saved from the kingdom of darkness. We were saved from an eternity in hell. We were saved from being separated from God forever. So saved to what? What were we saved to? Well, once again, adopted into the family of God. Once you are born again, you are adopted into the family of God. That being the case, you will rule and reign in His eternal kingdom. With your last breath, as one born again, as you take your last breath in life and you awaken in eternity, you will then rule and reign in the eternal kingdom of God. You will continue to rule and reign with God in the new heavens and the new earth, because there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. Now, in order to get where we're going, slow down and listen to me. In order to get where we are eventually going, we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That phrase is used 6 times in the scriptures. The valley of the shadow of death. 6 times. In order to get to eternity and what awaits us in eternity and all the blessings and wonder and splendor of that which awaits us in eternity, we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death unless Christ were to come back and rapture us before that time. But I can find no evidence in the scripture that would indicate to me that Christ could come back at any moment. I can't find it. I know it's from many pulpits, but I've been in the Bible a long time. I can't find it. I find where we've got to go through a lot of stuff before Christ comes back. In Psalm 23:4, the Word of God says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You see, our citizenship, once we die, our citizenship will be in the new heavens and the new earth, ruling with the rest of all believers who died in all the ages, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We will be ruling and reigning with all who died in faith. Abraham, the father of our faith, we will be ruling and reigning with all who have died previously to us, prior to us, and we will then be ruling and reigning with him throughout all the rest of eternity. Romans 4:3. What says the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. The same thing is true of you, me. When we come to Christ, receiving Christ as our Savior, confessing that we're a sinner, and asking in childlike faith for Jesus Christ to come into our heart, be our Lord, be our Savior, when we do that, then we are made the righteousness of God Himself in Christ Jesus. Not in the expression of some religious activity. Not because of our religious activity or our involvement in religious activity. No. Because of Jesus Christ. And because we become one with Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we become one with Him. All who died rightly related to God through faith in Christ. All. Every individual who has ever died rightly related to God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, to be sure, in the Old Testament, one was made acceptable to God through the blood sacrifices and obedience. The blood sacrifice, because the Old Testament is saturated in the blood of the sacrificial animals. Absolutely saturated. And so in the Old Testament, one was made acceptable to God through the blood sacrifice without the shedding of blood. There is no remission of sin. That has been the standard. God Himself performed the very first blood sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. When He killed that sacrificial animal and transferred the sins of Adam and Eve to that sacrificial animal, and when that animal died, their sins died in that animal. When we come to Christ, receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins were put to death on the cross in Christ. On that cross, Christ became everything that God hated, so that those of us who believe and receive could become objects of His love. But on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Christ cried out. Why? Because in that horrible, terrible moment in eternity, He had become everything, as I've said this so many times, but you have to understand this religious person. Those of you who are religious but not born again, you must understand this. Sin only has to die. God only knows one cure for sin, death. Sin has to die. And when you're born again, your sins were transferred to Jesus and died in Jesus. When Jesus died, those sins died in Jesus. Then you can become that new creation in Christ Jesus. All who died rightly related to God through faith in Christ Jesus. Once again, in the Old Testament, they were made acceptable to God through the blood sacrifices and obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to heed than the fat of rams. In the Old Testament, it was obedience to the law. It was obedience to the law and the blood sacrifices of those animals, those sacrificial animals. In the New Testament, it is all who have been born again. Once again, in the Old Testament, it was obedience to the law and the blood sacrifices. In the New Testament, it is all who have been born again because Christ took upon Himself the sins of everyone who would be born again. And when He went to the cross, He put those sins to death in Himself. Being religious will not get it done, folks. Listen to me. We have multitudes in the valley of decision. We have multitudes in the valley of religion. We have multitudes in the valley of religious activity. That is not equivalent to being born again. No, that is not the equivalence of being born again. You may be involved in religious activity 7 days a week, including 7 nights a week. That won't get it done. That will not get it done. You have to understand this. Being religious, please hear me carefully. Being religious will not get it done. Hell is populated with religious people. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, as I speak to you today, hell is populated with religious people. I'm going to take it a step further. For that matter, hell is well populated with religious leadership. Yes, I said that. And I'm going to say it again. You have to understand this. Hell is well populated, as I said, with religious people. People who are very, very religious. They're involved in all kinds of religious activities. They're identified with one expression of religion, if we can call it that. But hell is well populated with religious people. But then I say once again, hell is also well populated with religious people and will continue to be so. Hear me. Hell will continue to be populated by religious people who were never born again. Hell will continue to be populated by religious leadership who themselves were never born again. Folks, this is a reality. This is a spiritual reality. It's what Jesus taught. It's what the Word of God teaches. And we have different religious organizations that have twisted and turned the Word, watered the Word down, tried to change the meaning of the Word because they want to hold on to their base, the base of their membership. They want to hold on to that membership base because it's from that membership base that they get their funding. Understand this. One must be born again. Hell will be well populated with religious people. Hell will be populated with religious leadership. Jesus spoke of that spiritual reality. In his teaching, Jesus addressed that spiritual reality in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you realize that the only way you can do the will of the Father is if you are enabled, empowered, energized by the Holy Spirit to do it? Do you realize that? You have so many people trying to do the will of the Father in the flesh. If I obey this religious rule, if I obey this religious precept, if I belong to this expression of religion, then I'll be made right with God. No. You're not made right with God till you're adopted into the family of God. And you're not adopted into the family of God till you've been born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ, receive Christ as your Savior. Then you're born again. Once again in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I'm going to say this again. You can only do the will of the Father in heaven as you are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to do the will of the Father. And you can only be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God when he comes to indwell you. And he only comes to indwell you when you are born again. You can attend every religious activity in the city, whatever city you live in. You can be involved in religious activity 7 times a week, 4 or 5 times a day. That will not make you right with God. No, you must be born again. Once again, I'm emphasizing this. I realize I'm reading these verses 2 or 3 times, but the Word of God has got to penetrate the misunderstanding, the lack of understanding. You've got to get this. Not everyone, Jesus said, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, and once again, you can only do the will of the Father in heaven when you're indwelt, enabled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the will of the Father in heaven. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. The day of judgment before the throne of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we teach? Didn't we preach? Didn't we minister the word in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? Folks, this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking. He says, many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of the judgment. When we stand before the judgment bar of God. When he's about to consign people to an eternity in hell. And he says, many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of the judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Folks, slow down and listen to me. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we teach the scriptures in your name? Didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we deliver the message from the pulpit in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform exorcisms on individuals who had demonic power in them? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And did we do many wonders in your name? Well, let me ask you this. Who enabled them? Who empowered them to do those many wonders? Who do you think? Who do you think empowered them to do many wonders in the name of Jesus? He's going to listen to all that. Jesus says, I'll listen to everything you say. And then I will say this. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. He didn't say, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. He didn't say, I knew you when you were born again, but you lost your salvation. He didn't say that. You can only be born again once. Hear me? You can only be born again once, and you must be born again to be in the family of God, to be in the kingdom of God, to be a believer priest, to be adopted into the family of God, to be a child of God. You can only be born again. You can only be born once naturally. You can only be born again spiritually once. You can only be born naturally one time. You can only be born again spiritually one time. So he will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. He didn't say, I knew you, but you sinned and lost your salvation. He doesn't say that. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. Folks, that's heavy. Remember the pronouncement of Jesus against the religious leadership in his day? Remember that? Remember the pronouncement of Jesus against the religious leadership in his day in John chapter 80, verse 44? Speaking to the religious leadership of that day, Jesus said to them, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Folks, don't lose sight of what I'm saying to you. He is talking to the leading religious leadership in the nation in his time, the Pharisees, Sadducees. He is talking to the religious leadership in his nation. How much of the religious leadership today could he say that? You are of your father, the devil. He's talking to the religious leadership. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resource. For he is a liar and the father of it. Child of God, understand this. As one born again, we've been talking about those who are not born again. We've talked about those who are born again. But I want to remind you, those of you who are born again, if you have been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, went before his throne confessing yourself to be a sinner, acknowledging you're a sinner, and asking Christ in childlike faith to come into your heart and be your Lord and be your Savior, as one born again, you are forgiven. Forgiven. You have been forgiven of the sins that you committed before you come to Christ. And you will be forgiven of the sins that you commit now that you have come to Christ when you confess that sin. That's why it's important to be sin-sensitive. It's important to be sin-sensitive so that when you sin, you will detect that little slight impression in the spirit. That's a lie. That's wrong. You're doing wrong. That's not right. That's not Christ-like. So once you understand, as one born again, you've been forgiven, you have been forgiven, and you will be forgiven as you acknowledge the sin and confess the sin to Jesus as it happened. Don't say to yourself, well, I'll wait to get home tonight and I'll confess my sin. No. When you realize you have sinned, confess the sin. What happens then? It's forgiven and forgotten. The Word of God says, you confess it, he forgives it and forgets it. I don't know about you, but I got a lot I'm glad he's forgotten. I wish I could forget some of it, but he's forgotten it. You see, God has forgotten that which we cannot forget in our past. And you know what I'm talking about. Listen, you're not nearly as spiritual as you think you are. You're not nearly as spiritual as you've tried to make people think you are. But you have to understand this. God has forgotten those things that you cannot forget. Things in your past. Me. God has forgotten things I can't forget. Things in my past. And then let me ask you this. I can go to God and confess my sin, and he forgives my sin. Why would I confess my sin to another human being? Answer me that. Why would I confess my sin to another human being who themselves sin and cannot forgive sin? Only Christ can forgive sin. Only the blood of Christ will cleanse us from our sin. Another human being cannot forgive me for my sin. Only Christ Jesus can forgive me for my sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, who is he? Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another human being cannot forgive you of your sin. I don't care what position he holds, what title he wears, he cannot forgive you your sin. Only Christ. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus took your sins upon himself on that cross. Jesus took care of our sin problem. Those born again have had their sins forgiven and forgotten. As one born again, I've been born again. I confess my sins. As I confess my sins, they're forgiven and they're forgotten. As I said a while ago, he forgets things I can't forget. But as I confess my sins, they are forgiven and forgotten. Remember that? For those of you who've been born again, you need to remember that. For those of you who've been born again, you need to remember that. That when you confess that sin, it is forgiven and forgotten. As one indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now think about what I'm saying. As one indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe indwelling you. Do you realize that when you're born again, the Spirit of God takes up residence in your spirit, in your soul, in your body? Do you realize that once you're born again, the creative power of the universe is indwelling you? Jesus spoke of that spiritual reality to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 17. Listen to this carefully. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's proof that you love him, that you want to keep his commandments. You're willing to keep his commandments. You're trying to keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Who is that other helper? The Holy Spirit of God. That other helper is the Holy Spirit of God. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Once you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, once you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God throughout all of eternity until you go to heaven, and then, of course, you're one with Christ. Those expressions of Christianity, of religion, I should say, that say that you can lose your salvation simply don't have the foggiest idea what the Word of God teaches. They do not have the foggiest idea what the Word of God teaches. Let's do it again. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will abide with you forever. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you've got him forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for Pentecost. When the Spirit of God come to indwell human beings, he's saying to them, empowered. You see, those who've been born again are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? Have you been born again? If you've been born again, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You can be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit as you submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. It is we lose spiritual power when we quench the Holy Spirit, when we grieve the Holy Spirit. We lose spiritual power then. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hear this, child of God. Anything God commands you to do, he will empower you to do. Did you hear me? Anything that God commands you to do, he will empower you to do. As a child of God, you've been made salt. That's what the Word of God teaches us. You've been made salt. What does that mean? It means that you are to be preservative in the society of this nation. You're to be a preservative in the organization and the organism known as the church. You're to be a preservative in the nation. You're to be a preservative in the community. You're to be a preservative in the office. You're to be a preservative in the neighborhood. You have been made salt. Salt is a preservative. And you are to be a preservative of the kingdom of God, the things of God, wherever you may be, because you, as one born again, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, everywhere you go, you take the Spirit of God with you. Now, granted, sin, unconfessed sin in the life, quenches the Holy Spirit, grieves the Holy Spirit, so he does not come forth and show himself in the power that he possesses, that he is. Through your lifestyle, you have the ability to be a preservative in the community in which you live, the office where you work, the nation in which you live, through your lifestyle, through your witness. You are indwelt by the creative power of the universe. He wants to enable you and empower you day by day. He wants to enable you and empower you when you get up out of bed in the morning. He wants to enable you and empower you to die to self. To die to self. Right then and there. Take your rightful place of death to self. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I choose to die to self. I choose to die to self. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, enable me, empower me today, every moment of today, to die to self, that I might live for Jesus Christ, that I might represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that I am, all that I say, and all that I do. But he has made you a preservative in your lifestyle, in your witness. What about your prayer life? Your prayer life, child of God, he has given you power. By the indwelling Spirit of God, he has given you power in your prayer life. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer on behalf of the members of your family, on behalf of the ministry, the church you're involved in, on behalf of the nation, in your prayer life, intercessory prayer, you have been enabled and empowered to approach the throne of God in intercessory prayer. As a child of God, you've been made light. You've been made salt. You've been made light in a world of darkness, child of God. You may be the only light in some lives. You may be the only light that some see in that community that you live in that office that you work in that place that you shop. Taking light into darkness every day of the world. You as a child of God, you've been made salt. You've been made light. You have the Spirit of God living in you. So you're to take that light into the darkness every day of the world in your community, your office, where you shop. As a child of God, not only have you been made salt and made light, you've been made a believer priest. You've been made a believer priest. Word of God teaches that. You have access to the throne of God. You have access to your Heavenly Father. You have access to the creative power of the universe. Are you utilizing that access on behalf of others, on behalf of the nation, the nations of the world, on behalf of the kingdom of God? Are you using that access on a daily basis to go into the presence of God? State your position. State your position. State your petitions. Listen, child of God, understand who you are in Christ Jesus. You have access to the throne of God. As one born again, you have access to your Heavenly Father, who is the creative power of the universe. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. In Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was great. Folks, He is still dividing the light from the darkness. As a child of God, you are under the divine protection. You have been made light. He created light in the beginning. He created light for the world. You as a child of God have been made light. You carry light into darkness everywhere you go. And as a child of God, you're under His divine protection. Do you hear me? As a child of God, you're under His divine protection. As a child of God, you have access to His divine providence and His provision. You, as a child of God, you have that access to His divine providence, His divine provision, and as a child of God, you already have eternal life. You can't lose it. You can never lose salvation. You can forfeit some promises. You can forfeit some blessings. You can shorten your life through disobedience, through rebellion against God, but you will never lose the light. Why? You will never lose eternal life because once you are born again, you can't become unborn. As one who's been born naturally, you cannot become unborn. As one who's been born again spiritually, you cannot become unborn. Contrary to a lot of expressions of religion teach, you cannot become unborn. Eternity with God, your Heavenly Father, and His kingdom is yours. Do you realize that when you draw your last breath, eternity with God, your Heavenly Father, you'll be joining Him in His kingdom, and you'll be ruling and reigning with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. Why? All because you weren't born again. All because you believed the gospel, received Christ as your Savior, was born again. You have Jesus indwelling in you. You, as one born again, you have Jesus indwelling you, and Jesus himself is a source of joy unspeakable. He's a source of the peace of God. You have peace of God because you have peace with God in Christ Jesus. He gives you rest, spiritual rest in the Spirit. He gives you comfort, knowing who holds today and tomorrow. That's comforting to me, to know who holds today and tomorrow. And then I have confidence in his ability and will to fulfill his word. You see, he's going to fulfill his word. And I have confidence in his ability and his will to fulfill his word. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. This is a promise to those born again. This is a promise to those who have been born again. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Protection. In this sin-cursed and sin-darkened world, Jesus Christ is my only source of protection. And guess what? The same is true of you. Jesus Christ is your only source of provision and protection in a world that is sin-cursed and sin-darkened and becoming more so every day. And you, as a child of God, he's residing within you. Do you realize that the creative power of this universe indwells every believer, because every believer is a believer priest? And the Word of God teaches us that when we become born again, our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God indwells the temple. My body, your body, if you've been born again. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Because Pentecost was coming, when the Spirit of God came from heaven to indwell believers, came to earth to indwell those who embraced Christ, come to indwell those who receive Christ as Savior, came to indwell those who believe and receive, come to indwell them, to enable them, to empower them. And so the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah forever. Amen. Amen. Understand this, child of God. You got more going for you than you have ever stopped to realize. Once you realize you have access to the throne of God, now he expects you to come before his throne clean. And that's really a simple thing, isn't it? Keep your sin list short. Keep your sin list short. When you realize you have sinned against the Holy Spirit, when you have violated the Word of God, you have not obeyed the Word of God, just call it what God calls it. Call it sin and be done with it and be through with it. Child of God, I want you to understand this. Understand this. The title of this message, I told you going into it, Packaging the Benefits. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received a tremendous package of benefits. I don't know if you're accessing them or not. I don't know if you're embracing them or not. But I can tell you this, they're there for you. They're there for you. And it starts with salvation. I got people listening today. You are involved in religious activity. You're involved in a religious institution. But you have no confidence that you're right with God. You keep trying to get right with God. And you think, if I do this, if I do that, if I go here, if I go there, that'll make me right with God. No, you go to your knees and you say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. I'm confessing I'm a sinner, Jesus, but I want to be born again. I want to receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be indwelt and empowered by your Holy Spirit. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to be received into glory. My friend, you pray a prayer, something like that, with your heart, with all your heart. You're saying to Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be a child of God. You go before the throne of God like that. All these benefits I've been talking about today, they're yours. And for those who have been born again, are you accessing all these benefits? Are you accessing these benefits daily? Keep the sin out of your life. Simple. Simple. When you've sinned, confess it. Say, Lord, that sin was sin. That thought was sin. That attitude was sin. That remark was sin. That response, that reaction was sin. Just keep your sin list short and walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God, enjoying all the blessings that your Heavenly Father has to offer you. May God grant you the strength and the will to do this. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today on Challenge. And once again, until we get a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.